You're inside My Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa. We're standing tall to help you sell this house, digging down to discover found treasure and style making a better way.
Charlie Fertini, the extreme in A&E's Sell This House Extreme, talks building New York City high-rises, the dark days of 9/11, and how building tall helps him help homeowners sell this house.
Dr. Lori, PhD, lifetime television blogger and appraiser for the Discovery Channel's Auction Kings, takes us on a white-glove journey of forgotten items and hidden treasures. It's worth how much?
And we're styling with Better Homes and Gardens editor Uma Blaze Ford with the Trendsetters Making Moves in Better Homes and Gardens Style Makers issue.
Style, art, and standing tall, it's all on the rise.
And it's happening now on My Fix It Up Life. Sanding walls before you paint? Do it the Hyde way, not the hard way, with Hyde's dust-free sander. Attach to your wet dry vac and go. No drywall dust on your furniture, no tough cleanup when you're done. Buy online at Amazon.com.
And you are inside My Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my artfully beautiful wife, Teresa, who's not for sale.
I am not for sale. And that's a really nice thing for a husband to say to a wife, I think. It's a kind of a compliment, I guess.
I got that in a Hallmark card. Dear honey, you're not for sale.
That's great. Is that for our anniversary? Because please don't give that to me. No, I'm really excited about today's show because I spent the better part of last week going through my parents' house. They're moving, and they have collected things over the course of their 45 years of marriage, and they're, well, my dad is getting close to 80 years old.
Right.
And he has things, some toys that his mother played with, and she was born in 1903.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Can you share what some of those are?
Well, one of them is it's a pram that she used to play with her baby dolls and stuff with when she was a little girl.
I see. I knew about the pram, but I didn't notice your perspective of toy there.
Yes. And, you know, it's made from iron and, like, the fabric is sort of falling apart a little bit. But, you know, she was a little girl in Ashland, Pennsylvania, and, you know, her family, you know, was like, you know, one of the, you know, the German, you know, Pennsylvania Dutch kind of families,
right,
and everything. And, you know, she also had these like little metal dishes, doll dishes that my father still has from when she was a little girl. And it's really kind of cool. And they also have these iron door stops.
Okay, I'm trying to picture that in my mind's eye. My mom had something like an iron doorstop. I don't know if it's the same thing.
Well, one of them is actually a Cinderella carriage with a driver and a footman.
Is it like super detailed?
Yes.
And
fantastic stuff. So they have things that they've collected throughout the course of their lives. They have some things from, you know, their parents and grandparents. And so whittling through all of that, because they're downsizing to a place that's going to be less than half the size of what their current place is.
So 45 years of marriage, you've probably, what,
and
like
probably
couple shoe boxes?
Couple of things. So, you know, and you know, not saying that, you know, that it's wrong or anything, but I actually was going through, like, Valentine's cards that I got when I was, like, 2 years old and stuff. I don't know why we've kept all of these things all these years, but we had, and it's nice to be able to look at. It's nice the opportunity to be able to look at all these things as they're selling their house.
Yes.
So I'm excited about this show today because, you know, going through all of your old things and trying to figure out not only how to put your house on the market and how to get a good price for it, but to go through the history of your life.
And that's beautiful. And our guest, A&E Sell This House Extreme, Charlie Fertini, would say you might have to let go of some other items that aren't really in the area of antiques, but might be in the area of, say, mess.
Well, see, that's the thing that I'm trying to do in our lives, and I don't know if you've noticed it or not, that I'm trying to prioritize the things in our home for things that I love and things that I like. And if I just like it, it's gone. I mean, I like things, that's great, but somebody else might fall in love with them. And so They need to go on to a better place.
Yes, they do. And sometimes those better places can be a museum. And we can talk with Dr. Lori, who's joining us today. She's a PhD. She's director of Masterpiece Technologies. And you probably have seen her on the Discovery Channel's Auction Kings. Well, when you come in with some kind of totally bizarre thing, she knows what it is. She's like, oh, yeah, that was a 19.
Well, you know, not even a bizarre thing, but she could probably talk about the Cinderella carriage with the footman. You know, the doorstop.
Sure. Know, like, where it was made, exactly. Who made it, what it's worth in the market.
But for, you know, on the other side of the perspective, we're also talking to the editor of Better Homes and Gardens. And if you've seen the current issue, it's the Style Makers issue. It's all about just gorgeous things. And there's so many people in there that are giving their opinions and their expertise on everything in style.
Trend setting, what's going to be hot, what looks great. I love that stuff.
You like what's going to be hot?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, you can paint
because
any
wall. Because
you're
all about suns out, guns out. That's why you want what's hot.
Four words I live by. Suns out, guns out.
Well, we're going to go up to a break, but I want to say that we're giving away not the 100-year-old pram, but we're giving away a new stroller, an Iron Man Bob stroller, and its approximate retail value is $550. You have to go to myfixitoplife.com right now, click on free stuff to enter to win, and we have to go to break.
We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
Looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? DaVinci Roofscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic DaVinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, DaVinci Roofs are fire-resistant and withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect, but enhance the beauty of their home. Learn more about award-winning DaVinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624 today.
And you're back inside my Fix It Up Life, and Fix It Up friends, it is Fix It Up Fine Time.
Fix It Up Fine Time, your favorite segment of our show.
My dear, what did you find?
I found something outside, so you're going to totally dig this.
Which means I'm going outside to see it.
And, you know, when I saw this particular item, which I'm not going to say what it is exactly yet, when I saw this particular item, it reminded me of an experience I had in college.
Okay.
And don't get excited, because the experience I had in college was watching...
I've heard your college stories. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get excited. Well, and then there was some more drudgery, and there was drudgery after that, and then I drudge. I'm sorry. Please continue.
You're trying to make me out to be some kind of very, like, unhappy person. So I was in college, and the house that I was living in, next door to that house, I woke up one morning, and there were these guys putting this faux brick siding on this house that was literally like falling apart.
Sounds awful.
And it was really kind of sad and alarming to me. I was an architecture student at the time. And it was sad and alarming to me in multiple different ways because...
Sad and alarming. Who says alarming?
It was alarming to me because
alarm.
I just wanted to go over to the house and be like, do you understand The house is falling apart. And not only is it just falling apart, but like you're putting on something that's not going to help it at all. Like look good or like be good or like it's such a waste of time and money what you're going through.
Right.
And if it's going to fool anyone, I feel really bad for that person because I don't remember if they were, if the house was for rent or for sale, sure. But it was for something. So enter today. Now, I have just learned about outdoor wallpaper.
Doesn't seem to go together.
It goes together for me because just stick with me for a while. Do you want to know about the outdoor wallpaper or the connection that I have?
Well, let's know what the outdoor wallpaper is, and then we'll swing it back into connection so we all, because you know we don't.
Okay. So for all of the fashionable people listening, mm-hmm. this outdoor wallpaper was introduced in Milan by a company called Wall and Deco. And there's a, I did a write-up on our website at myfixituplife.com about this. You can go and check it out and link to their website and find out more information about outdoor wallpaper. And they call it OUT, which is Outdoor Unconventional Textures. And they're large-scale graphics. And they have everything from, like, houndstooth to Bauhaus to, like, pop art kind of images and camo and, like, all kinds of really cool patterns and styles and everything for outdoor wallpapering needs.
Okay. Okay? I've got questions, you know.
You have questions?
Yeah. Would you put it on a fence? I mean, where's the wall?
You can put it on any wall. You know,
put it on your house?
Yeah, you can put it on your house. You can put it on, like, if you have a pool house, if you have, like, a stucco house, if you have, you know, for example, the factory that is on our street. It would be a great place to put outdoor wallpaper to brighten the wall up, to give it, like, a pop, to give it, like, you know, like a happy feeling about what it looks like.
Okay.
And give you a smile.
Right.
And it definitely is a feature. Like, you're not going to forget if you walk upon, like, you're walking through someone's neighborhood and they have, like, houndstooth all over their house. Like, you're going to say, I'm not going to forget that house ever.
I now want to wallpaper our house.
It's like a memorable thing.
Like a giant gift-wrapped box with houndstooth ribbons.
And that's really what I'm going back to.
Okay.
Is that house that I lived next door to?
Uh-huh.
If they had just put wallpaper over it in some kind of like crazy pattern or style, it would have at least made everyone in the neighborhood got like laugh and like be cheerful about how awful it was instead of
making the train wreck worse.
Be alarming.
Well, my fix it up.
And
fine.
That's not to say anything negative about outdoor wallpaper.
No.
I think it's a really awesome idea. And I can't wait to find out how it lasts, you know, up against the elements and everything because it's a new product.
Absolutely. I mean, it sounds like a total accent piece that can spruce up any outdoor space.
Accent piece, the entire house, baby. The entire
houndstooth
house.
I want to look like a suit. I hope that I'm describing houndstooth right.
And then instead of like trim around the house, you put a big bow, a big tie.
The giant bow. That's big tie.
And a top hat instead of a roof.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll stick the chimney through the top hat.
That would be pretty stellar.
Well, my fix it up find sounds like it would be applicable for that house you just described because
it's a demo tool.
Because it's a reciprocating saw blade from Diablo. Who now I've used their circular saw, or as an old friend of mine used to say, circle saw.
Yes.
Circle saw blades.
Oh, that makes me want to cry.
I know it. It's so funny.
It's like chimney.
Yeah, I know it.
Yes.
Or realtor.
Oh.
Yeah, realtor. What kills me the most is when realtors call themselves realtors.
Okay, please continue about your blade.
She thought I had a nervous breakdown.
I am.
Well,
I'm kind of like a building term snob. I have to admit that because it really does bother me. It makes me actually kind of like tear up a little bit.
Well, reciprocating saw blades do, as you can imagine, most of the giant total layered cutting dirty work of taking something apart. And whether it's, you know, removing a wall in your house, cutting a deck post, pulling down a shed outside like an old metal shed or something. And what happens to those blades is they have to do so much that they can only last for so long, especially when you start cutting through 16-penny nails. So when you remove a wall in your house, you almost have to cut through those.
I'm sorry, I just had a vision of you doing that just for fun.
Well, it is fun sometimes. But what happens is, because of the way the saw works and stuff, you usually end up cutting with the same couple teeth. And once that's done, the blade's mostly done and $10, gone. See you later.
Now, is there like a technique you can use so you don't go through the exact same place every time? Or do you just use it the pivot point because that's the strongest part?
That's the strongest part. And sometimes you can't keep the saw out because the end of the blade bashes on stuff, or you just can't control the tool because
it's kind of like your eye teeth. Those are the teeth that in your mouth, because of where they are, that's the enamel that wears off the fastest too. Did you know that?
Well, these carbide covered Diablo recip saw blades are unbelievable, and we're going to post a video at myfixituplife.com. Check out my write up there. But in the meantime, we have to go to break. We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
Just looking for a place to go, somewhere I could just lay low, brave the storm and wait better weather. Just tonight, it's right in front.
Add more curb appeal to your home.
Create a memorable entrance with Therma-True fiberglass doors and Fipon synthetic trim that won't warp, crack, or rot.
And give you those rich details that make your home a showpiece.
Make your great entrance by visiting Therma-True.com and Fipon.com.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you vegan and vegetarian-friendly homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. Try Green Street Luxuries today at greenstreetlux.com.
Mark, we're getting a lot of questions about windows.
It's true, and I'm telling everyone to visit Simonton.com for the answers. They have tons of free materials and everything from lead-safe window replacement details to understanding condensation in their homes.
You'll also find help in figuring out the best time to replace your windows and how to select vinyl windows that add to your home's curb appeal.
Just visit Simonton.com for all the answers to your window questions.
Listen to your heartbeat, feel your pulse, he's dropped me off.
And you're back inside My Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark.
And we're style making.
We are style making. You know, I think that's kind of a fun little thing for you to try to do once a day, is to like think about your style.
That's why I wear a kerchief with my t-shirt.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, a kerchief.
That's a style. I don't know if that is, you know, a style that other people would really admire.
Now, is that a kerchief or is that a neckerchief? Are those the same things?
Well, you know, I think I'd rather talk to our guest right now, who is the executive editor of Better Homes and Gardens. And they have their issue that's on newsstands right now.
The style maker issue.
Which you should be reading and studying and just absorbing in like the essence of the whole thing, the whole mojo.
Yes, Oma Blaze Ford, who is the executive editor of Better Homes and Gardens and instrumental in the Better Homes and Gardens Style Makers issue. What do you think about our dilemma?
What you're wearing today?
Yes, well, today today's Neckerchief Friday.
I won't speak to that, but we are super excited about our September Style Maker issue. It's the second time we've put together this whole feature full of really interesting people who have a distinctive point of view about creating style at home and in their lives. And I think, Teresa, what you said about thinking about your style a little bit every day is really important, because expressing who you are in what you wear and in where you live, I think, is really important. It helps you feel grounded to a place, and it also communicates something to the people around you.
And I think that is just absolutely so true. And looking through the pages of the magazine, and you know, I don't know another place where you can find perspectives from Nate Berkus and Katie Kirk and Heidi Klum all in the exact same location.
Yes, it's quite an interesting group of people we've collected, from the people you mentioned to stylist Sabella Court, who gave us an amazing palette of colors inspired by India, and Maxwell Gillingham Ryan, who founded Apartment Therapy and who I just want to follow around and absorb things from. He's so interesting. It's a great group.
It is a tremendous group. And then, too, you know, I've been looking at Better Homes and Gardens for years, and I know that my mom also was reading Better Homes and Gardens too.
I mean, it's an institution.
It is an institution. But the thing is that it's not your mom's magazine. It's for everyone, because I was checking out, you have everything in there from, like, you know, what should you do with your kids that want to be on Facebook and, you know, who want to have cell phones and all of those things that, you know, as parents, we are dealing with our 11-year-old. And, you know, how to manage your time. I love that article on page 180 about off the clock, because thinking about multitasking and everything, I mean, that style, like that can...
I mean, we just spend so much time trying to do so many things, and really, that isn't always the most effective way, and I think sometimes we need a kind of reality check.
Oh, totally. And that totally affects your style, too, because if you can't juggle your life, then it totally reflects. You can't really think about...
It affects everything.
Yeah, you can't think about your personal style, and you can't think about what makes you happy in your life and everything, too.
There's happiness?
Definitely.
There is happiness,
there
Mark.
There should be happiness.
I thought about you just read about that in magazines. Man, I am way behind the curve. Maybe my neckerchief is too tight.
Oh, Lord. Really? You There is happiness, and I think happiness does come from being inspired. And I'm definitely inspired from all the people that I've been reading about in the September issue, for sure. And I want to know, from your perspective, what do you take away every issue, and for example, this issue, into your own life and how you work? Because I'm sure it kind of filters through into your, you know, your home and your you know, everything that you do.
Absolutely. I mean, I am the executive editor, but I'm also a reader of the magazine in terms of pulling away great ideas. And one of the neat things about an issue like this, it's true of every issue of Better Homes and Gardens, but in our StyleMaker issue, because we're so focused on finding those interesting points of view about style, it's especially true in this issue. You get to meet all of these interesting people who have a distinctive voice, and they're obviously going to bring something interesting into your world that you might not have heard about, even if you are a potentially jaded magazine editor or radio host or whatever. And I am always pulling interesting things out of that. The color story that I mentioned with Sabella Court, she had a really interesting way of talking about what the benefit of travel is and how you find inspiration in travel by the fact that you're in a different place, your senses are heightened, you're seeing things for the first time. And she has a great piece of advice to bring some of that back to your everyday, to try to be mindful about looking around even your normal surroundings and really seeing things. And that might be walking through your living room and going, wow, that piece of art really does make me happy, or I love the color of that lamp, and realizing that there are these things already in your home that can be the pinpoints for inspiration, how to pull those things together and start to think about how they are the nugget of a personal style that then you can build on. That's in a decorating sense. Time story you mentioned, I definitely took away some advice there and have tried to trim my to-do list a little bit to really get things done in a better kind of way. And one of my favorite pieces in the issue is a quick inspiration piece on designer picks for great front door colors. This is a perfect way to easily add some personal style to your house, paint your front door. And it's been on my list for a while. I am going to do it this fall. I just can't decide if I want really bold orange or a super saturated olive green.
Well, I kind of like the last one that you just said, because I was one of the people that contributed a color for that particular piece.
See?
So personally, I'm a little flattered right now, so thank you. But
we both sat here and looked at each other for a second saying, who's going to say it? Because I've had the magazine open to, I don't know, is it page 70? It's page 70. Where my wife is, I'm so proud of her that I can't stand it. Hmm. And You handed it to us, so. So what door color are you going with again?
Oh, please, Mark. No, it is very exciting because, you know, I learned so much. And, you know, one of my favorite things I read is a quote from Amy Butler that says her style advice is dress yourself and your home from your heart, which it's just so true.
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that story, too, because it is super fun. What a beautiful place. Incredible kitchen remodel. And you can just see the kind of happiness and style that they've infused into their lives in that house. And it's just a fun, fun piece to look at and be inspired by. The magazine, you mentioned that we are an institution, but the reason we're relevant to so many people at all kinds of age groups is because we continue to pay attention to what people want now and to be in different platforms. So in addition to the print magazine, we have our iPad, you know, our tablet edition on iPad and all of the other formats, and also our incredibly vibrant website at bhg.com. And one thing that's fun about this issue is if you go on the website and you click on the magazine tab, you can get a whole bunch of extended style maker interviews from people in the issue. And it's just fun to pop through those questions and see what's inspiring those people, what they can't live without, what they think style really means, how they define it, all of those sorts of things. So that's a fun kind of interactive piece there.
Well, I'm glad you bring up the videos at bhg.com because that short circuits one of the questions I was going to ask you when you mentioned the different voices in the magazine, both in the Style Makers issue and in all the issues. But my question was, how loud is Guy Fieri's voice?
He has a ton of energy, obviously. That is, I mean, his personality is high, high energy. And he was a lot of fun to work with for our food department. He's got a batch of really fun recipes. They threw an incredible party. And I love his take on style as well, and this idea that, you know, it's really about bringing people together and having fun. And he has some specific ideas about how you can do that comfortably. And I love also that he is so focused on what people really like and what makes them happy and comfortable. And I think creating a sense of comfort around yourself is part of style. You know that you look better when you feel comfortable in your clothes. When you feel confident, you look better. And I think the same thing happens in your home environment. You're much more able to be happy and comfortable at home and to welcome people in a comforting kind of way into your environment if you feel good and confident in the way that your surroundings look, because they express who you are.
When you're talking, I kind of feel like I'm actually reading the magazine because I'm getting the same kind of inspired, like, blissful feeling from hearing you describe all of it than when I actually am reading Better Homes and Gardens.
I can't lie. I feel the same way. So I'm going to create a sense of discomfort around us because we have to take a break. We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
Excited to see you another day.
Want to turn a kitchen or bath from drab to fab? Tile it yourself with Bondera.
If you can paint or wallpaper, you can put in beautiful new tile yourself using Bondera.
Bondera makes tiling faster, easier, and cleaner than using mortar or mastic.
It's an advanced, pressure-sensitive adhesive on a roll
that repels water, is mold-resistant, and environmentally friendly.
Saving time and money is beautiful with Bondera Tile Mat Set.
Visit BonderaTileMatSet.com for more information.
Or grab a roll at Lowe's today.
Got a home improvement headache?
Here's a quick tip from My Fix It Up Life on working with your spouse.
You can keep your relationship strong while you fix up your home.
Create a sensible budget together.
Be mindful of each other's time.
Get ready for dust and mess.
Compliment your spouse about their strengths before offering advice.
Plan, plan, plan.
And don't forget to smile.
For more quick tips, tune into the My Fix It Up Life show Saturdays at 10 a.m. on 1520 AM WCHE.
You're back inside my Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa, and I got a resume for you. High-rise builder, U.S. Marine, housing expert, remodeler, Charlie Fertini from Sell This House Extreme. Am I leaving anything off this list? Because I don't want to pay you short shrift, man.
Well, hey, Mark, how you doing? But I'm 5'9", brown hair, brown eyes, and fun at parties. That's another resume builder there.
Wait, I'm writing that down. Hold on. Monster.com. Charlie Fertini, fun at party. Got it.
Well, listen, I'm the builder host on Sell This House Extreme on A&E, and it plays Saturdays. They're there Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock, and hopefully everybody can check out the show. It's actually a great show. It's a great season we got this year.
Now, Charlie, you've lived a really remarkable life, and I've read your bio here. You know, like I said before, you're a veteran of our country and service, for which I and we thank you. You've done high-rise construction, which is, well, let me ask you, is or isn't massively different than building a home?
Absolutely. Well, you know something? Yes and no. I'm going to tell you, first of all, let me just say this to all your listeners out there. I am the only real builder on TV, Mark. There is not another one out there. Yeah, you can mention names of all these other guys, and they do little one-story buildings. They may have a company that does a multiple one-story buildings. I build high-rises in New York City. My resume is from underground utilities to heavy highway, which is roads and bridges, and also to viaducts, and then I've done high-rise buildings, major buildings in New York City. And right now, there's not another person on TV that can stand their resume up against mine that knows as much or more about construction than I do. I also have an engineering background. So when people watch these shows and they watch my show, yes, we have fun on my show. We have fun. We have a great time. But I know what I am doing, and it's everything in that show that's being built refers to me. So is a high-rise, an answer to your question, different than a one-story building? Well, if you look at a building as if I put up the 55-story building, but if you put up a 40-story building, using that as an example, that's a one-story building 40 times. And that's the way I look at all my buildings. I try and simplify it as much as possible so then the dynamic or the enormity of the project doesn't overwhelm you, and you can kind of look at it a little differently, and you can build it as easily and quickly as you can. This is the same thing with a one-story building. I take my high-rise experience into a one-story reconstruction, and I schedule it, manage it, and motivate all my people. People think I yell and scream. I'm a former Marine. I motivate. And I motivate my people to do up to 6 weeks' worth of work. 6 weeks. We do it in 3.5 days. And it's not done of a shoddy quality. The quality is perfect. I put my name on it.
Well, you know, you raise a question about human behavior and something that fascinates me about leaders in leadership. And, yes, you mentioned sort of the more obvious parts of being a Marine, which is being vocal, and I've seen you on the show. There's definitely no doubt when you're in the room, but not everybody responds to that or responds positively to it. And so when you are leading, whether it is a crew on Sell This House Extreme on A&E or it's a crew in a high rise, are you reading the people so that you can manage them in the way that makes them the most effective, or is it command and control straight down the line, put up or get out?
There are certain times command and control straight down the line is important and imperative to the success of anything you do in life, especially a project in construction. However, I am not naive enough to think that everybody responds to that attitude at all times. I watch people. I pay attention to people. One of the things that I pride myself on, the plane going overhead, let me just walk inside it. One of the things I pride myself on is being able to convince people or get people to do things they don't want to do, but don't have the confidence to do, and have them come to me later and say, wow, Charlie, I didn't think I could do that. That's what motivation is all about. It's not always yelling and screaming. There are times that you have to massage people. You have to make people feel like they can actually do things. One of the things I do, if you watch my show, you'll see I say it quite often, is that when people are lifting something, for example, a refrigerator or a stove, very, very often I'm there lifting it with them. But if I'm watching or directing somebody to lift something, I'll yell at them, don't make it look heavy. And sometimes it really is heavy. But if you can convince them that what they're doing is not hard, they'll move mountains for you. And I have had people work for me directly for over 27 years. Well, actually, no, that's not true. 20 years. I'm sorry, 27 is my career. 20 years. They've been with me exclusively for 20 years. They're not going to stay with a Genghis Khan. They're going to stay with a guy that's fair, just, who can motivate them to get to do things that they don't think they can do nor want to do, and also somebody that's going to lead them to success. And that's where I come in. I've been very, very fortunate in my career that I've been leading people to success for a long time.
You know, that sort of raises another question. You know, again, this myriad of activities you had in your whole life, you're going from a 50-story building to a one-story house, and part of me saying, why? I mean, it must be boring to, you know, put in a header or, you know, remodel a bathroom. If it's not the work, and maybe it is, what's in it for you to go from super tall to, you know, John Q. Public?
Well, I've built successfully high-rise buildings for developers in New York City. And I've made developers many, many tens of millions of dollars. And they've been very happy with my work. The joy I get out of that is a business. It's not, there is no joy. It's business. I'm successful. I'm aggressive, and I'm able to do things on my end. I also motivate myself to do things that a lot of people don't think could be done. But that's a business. I get to go now around the country, and I get to help homeowners rebuild their homes to get them ready for sale, that they're having a tremendous amount of difficulty selling them. And to have these homeowners in middle America, they're not rich. They don't have millions of dollars. Some of them, they're about to lose these homes. And I get to come in with Tanya Memmi and Daniel Krupkin, who's the designer. Tanya Memmi is the main host. The three of us get to go in and change their lives. And to have them come up to me afterwards, and the three of us, I can't speak for them. I guess I do know their feelings as well. But to have these homeowners come up to us and say, thank you, with tears in their eyes, and you just helped them either get out of foreclosure. You've helped them sell a house. We had a house in Miami where I got hurt. The house was for sale for almost a year and a half. No buyers. We fixed up the house. They had a bidding war during the final open house when we leave the show and give it back to the homeowner, which is the last day of the show. So to have them come up to you with tears and say, thank you. They're not making millions of dollars on these houses, but we're getting them out of their debt. We're getting them out of the house where they can change their lives and to be the person or to be a part of the group that helps them with the new chapter, helps them write the new chapter on their lives. Is a tremendous joy for me, believe it or not. I really enjoy it. I don't make as much doing high rise. I mean, I make more doing high rises than this, but I offset the cost with the joy I get out of helping these people. And that's something that you can't get from a high rise developer.
Wow. Wow. And while we're on a serious note here, and I don't want to blindside you with this question, but we have a note here in our information that says that you have a story about 9/11 that you haven't been able to share up until this point, but that you did want to talk about.
Well, I had gotten 9/11 occurred. There was, and I haven't talked about it for a lot of years. Well, since it occurred, it just started coming out now. Now that I'm on television, people have inquired about it. But I was on the top of a building about a mile away when the planes flew overhead. One of them flew overhead and crashed into the first tower. And then we sat there in awe and watched the whole thing unfold between our eyes, and the second plane come in over Staten Island. And it was at that moment that I knew those buildings were coming down. Now, there are conspiracy theories, and there are theorists that say that there's explosions and bombs and people that the government brought up those buildings down. I've been there. I saw it. Those buildings, the immense heat that was caused by the jet fuel, the steel could not sustain the heat. It was inevitable that the steel would yield and the buildings would collapse on top. The floors would collapse on top of each other. And the loads that those floors were going to now be subject to were not capable. They weren't capable of sustaining those loads, and the building was inevitable to come down. I knew that. Many, many, many hundreds of engineers or construction people knew that. Unfortunately, the firemen and the policemen didn't, and it's a shame. And having watched the buildings fall, I spent. I gathered my wife. We met and got her home, and I just couldn't sit home. And I went back to the site, and it was part of the pile cleanup. Now I was only there for the first week. It was less than a full week, but I was there for the first few days. There were my brothers and sisters in construction that were there for six, 7 months. But here's the difference, Mark. And I haven't talked about it much. This is probably the second interview or third interview I've done on it. But it was a rescue operation for that first week. I spent time manipulating or gathering manpower to get fires out. 35 was on fire. We couldn't get to a fireman. Grabbed construction workers, cleared a path. They were able to put building fire up. And I spent a lot of time on the pile with my hands digging on the bucket brigades. You know something, and for those that haven't been there, to not find in a 100-plus story office building, to not find a desk, a telephone, to not find partitions, chairs, computers, to not find keyboards.
Yeah.
Is everything was pulverized. And I had to do some things with the fire department, and I was a construction professional, and we went down under Deutsche Bank looking for Rescue 1, and we couldn't find any thermal equipment, but couldn't find Rescue 1. And over 3 hours underground looking for him. And climbing out of the hole, I found my first body. And so that's the first time. This is the first time I've ever spoken about that. And it's an emotional thing. And that was the beginning of finding bodies and parts. And it's sad. And we treated everything with respect. But the point I want to make is that the first week was a rescue operation. Where my construction brothers that were there, for the rest of the 6 or 7 months, they were all the heroes. They were there. So were the firemen and the policemen and the rescue operations. They were there to recover bodies. It was no longer a rescue. It was a recovery. It was nothing. It became a business on that day. The day it changed from a rescue operation to a recovery operation, they broke up the site into four different sections, four different major construction companies for part of the cleanup. And it was a business. It was nothing different than all of our construction brothers know, which is the demo of a building. You know how many buildings I demoed in my career? And to see the pile of debris and the rubble, no longer as there are bodies there or people there that may be alive, but more as it's a demo of a building that we're now going to clean up. Psychologically, it's damaging. Physically, it's damaging. But you're able to compartmentalize it a little differently than that first week. That first week, the shock that everybody experienced. I mean, I've seen people just standing in awe. And I can't describe to you the smell, the sights, or the eerie sound, which there was none. There was zero sound. And you have thousands of men working together. And there was no sound. And it's the scariest thing. And something I'll never forget. And I apologize for taking up too much time talking about it.
No, Charlie Fertini, contractor on A&E TV's Sell This House Extreme. There is no segue to go into. I have 1,000 other questions for you, but I think the dignity of the situation, not to mention our time, dictates that we should leave it here and ask if we can talk with you again. Thank you for your service, both as a Marine and as a construction professional in a dark time in America. And thank you for making brighter times for the homeowners on A&E Sell This House Extreme. So check out Charlie Fertini on Facebook. Check out his show on A&E. And we will be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
Got paint prep? Do it the Hyde way, not the hard way, with Hyde's 14-in-1 multi-tool. It scrapes paint, spreads spackle, sets nails, it even cleans rollers. It screws and unscrews just about anything. There's even a bottle opener. Buy it online at Amazon.com.
What a perfect day to play left right there. The kettle and lime, feeling fine, sitting in your sidewalk chair.
You're back inside my fix-it-up life, and I feel old.
Well, you kind of are, darling.
God!
You just had a birthday recently, and you know what? You're older even now than you were before when you said that you feel old.
My carbon dating is carbon dated.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, however, we are joined by a certified PhD doctor of philosophy, antiques appraiser, Dr. Lori V, who has seen, well, I bet just about everything from her own business to being a certified appraiser on Discovery Channel's Auction Kings.
Hi, Lori. How are
you? Hi, how are you?
We're doing great. I am so excited to talk to you because I've been thinking about you lately.
Oh, yeah?
I've been thinking about you because I spent a bunch of days in my parents' house cleaning out all kinds of stuff. And
it's a big job.
And my mom discovered some things that are, you know, 100 years old plus. And it came to my mind that what do you do when you find something that you think might be valuable to somebody? What do you do? Like, what do you do? Do you call? Like, I don't want everybody to call you up, but is there a website to go to? Is there, like, some professional organization? Because, like, what's the process that somebody can go through when they're finding older things that might be of value?
Well, you know, I give a lot of tips on Discovery Channel's Auction Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And as the expert appraiser for the show, I try to explain to people what to look for, what it's really worth. I always say, don't let it go until you know what it's worth. And it's a good rule to live by, particularly when you're downsizing, when you're cleaning out an estate or, you know, those kinds of things. As you guys know, I conduct about 150 public appraisal programs or events all over the country and the world where people will bring me their object when they have exactly the situation that you describe. I found this in Grandma's house. I don't know what it is. I either really don't need it or want it, or I want to know what it's worth so I can think about making the best decision for it. Do I hold on to it for the kids? Do I donate it? Do I try to sell it and get the money? What do I do? And basically, there are a couple of very simple tips. Yes, go to the DrLoriV.com website or call me and go, Dr. Lori, I want to come to an event and show you something. That's certainly fine. That's a good idea. Make sure that you have someone who's looking at the piece. Your listeners are more than welcome to use me or anybody else, but make sure that that person is the person who has the background, the expertise to be able to correctly identify your piece. Because once you correctly identify it, then you can research the value and find out the value for the piece. So that's the first thing. There are certain categories of objects that just are downright more valuable than others. So I know you love your Pez dispenser collection, and I know you love your knickknacks, and I know you love all those things that, as an appraiser, I would call dust collectors. But the things you want to look for in your house are those things that, in fact, have value intrinsically based on quality and condition. It might be your power tools, which you guys know a lot about. It might be your original fine art. It might be your precious metals. It might be antique furniture, which is made better than the furniture you're going to buy today. So think about those particular types of categories as opposed to sort of getting hung up on the little trinket stuff. So what I would say to my appraisal audiences across the country is go for the gusto, look for the big money.
Wow. Well, you know what? It just turns out by listening to you, I've now certified myself as an appraiser. And
if you're self-certified, I'm not using you.
I'm going
to make sure that your appraiser has a similar credentials to someone like me, which is many years in major museums. I evaluate about 20,000 objects a year. And as you so kindly pointed out, I have a PhD in the field.
Yeah, and in as much as I do want to joke around, because I've got about 8 more layers to that joke.
Oh, no.
And, you know,
I'll let you tell 5 of them.
Dear ma'am, it's old, $1 million. Where's my commission?
Oh, my goodness.
No,
but really, Mark, you know, I know you're joking around, but, you know, you make a point which is important. And I know Teresa is completely surprised by that, but you make a point which is important. And that is that when you are looking at, for example, a workshop or a garage full of tools, you're going to know the difference between the 1940s handheld drill and the Makita. Okay,
right.
So, and you're going to be able to assess, because this is your expertise, how those pieces are going to fare in a market, right?
Well, yeah, to a degree. And what, right. What I wanted to follow up with is to not diminish you by my joking, which I'm in love with myself.
You're in love with your own joking.
No,
that's
your
great.
Your street cred is no joke. And
no, that I, is, I appreciate that.
And that is why you're on the Auction Kings. And you can speak to, now this turns into a question, is there a period of art or art history or object history, I guess, that you're not an expert in? Because it seems like...
No, I evaluate everything. Because I had to teach at the major universities, and I held high-ranking positions in major museums across the country. So basically, when you have to stand up in a classroom, you've sat in a lot of classrooms.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and I see 20,000 objects a year, every year, at public events. I mean, if I haven't seen it, it doesn't exist. I've seen it all. I mean, to the point where I go, yes, I've seen that too. You know, but I've seen wonderful, fabulous things, and I've seen junk. And you can learn as much from the junk as you can from the fabulous art and antiques.
How is... I don't exactly get what you're saying. Trace, of course, does and doesn't have any follow-up questions. but I do. Like, what kind of insights can you garner from the junk versus, you know, the Fabergé egg that never came out of the box?
Well, that's a great question. I know what to avoid. And I can show people what to avoid. And I do that at more than 150 events all over the country. And people go, oh, I get it now. I don't want the thing that looks like this. I want the thing that looks like that. And basically, that's from years of experience. I mean, I don't want to tell you how many years. You think you're old? I mean, but basically, years of experience. So, and that's really what you want to do. If you have an interest in something, you're going to educate yourself, and experience is always the greatest teacher. So you have it in your field, and, you know, my audience members have it in their field, and your audience members have it in their field. You know, you just start to learn about what you've got. And then you start to say, oh, I want to learn more about the history and the background of this. And then how you equate it to value. There are a couple of tips you always want to think about. Condition is king. It's got to be in good shape. You also want to remember, when it comes to your objects and your collections, if you are building a collection, every time you add to a collection, you increase value. So that's important.
Wow. Now, I'm thinking about...
Therese is enraptured right now,
I really
by the
am,
way.
Because, you know, when Mark and I, when we go for a walk around our neighborhood, or if we travel somewhere and we're looking at houses, buildings, whatever it is, we look at it in a certain way. So whenever you walk through life, I'm just thinking about the way that you're perceiving objects around you, and
right.
Because that's your expertise. You see them... in a way that, you know, somebody who is an expert in trees or whatever sees them not as, gosh, they're beautiful, as like you're, it's like one of those like CSI kinds of shows where you're like have the all the numbers across the screen and you got all the stuff happening and like.
Yeah, you're like,
yeah,
the way Teresa puts it, you're an antiques terminator.
You're an antiques terminator.
I have very detailed files.
You're so funny, but you're right, you know, you're right, because when I, you know, there's objects around us all the time. So when I see an object, I see all different types of things. I see, oh, that's older. Oh, they added a different type of wood to that desk. Or, oh, that's a replacement hinge. Or, oh, you know, the same way that you look at, you know, architecture and you say, why did they put those gutters on that file? You know, they put, you know, I don't know, a 1950s gutter on a Epson Crass house, and you're saying, that's, oh my gosh, what did they do, you know?
Right.
So it's those kinds of things, but yes, I mean, I oftentimes joke at my antique appraisal events where people bring me their objects to have evaluated, you know, I oftentimes say, this is ASI, this is Antique Scene Investigation, you know, Ned Blood, but we're going to try to see if we can't figure out where this object came from, why it's important, and what the object will reveal to you if you just ask it the right questions. I've been talking to inanimate objects for a long time, so that's basically how it works.
That is fantastic.
That is, and it's so fantastic that we actually are up against a break. Dr. Lori V, check you out at drlorivee.com. Follow you on Facebook, and we have to go. We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Written out square.
just us. Hit the lawn on the park, looking sharp, walking with your blue dress on. The doors were smashed, you said that she was the bomb. Spend our summer.
Add more curb appeal to your home.
Create a memorable entrance with ThermaTrue fiberglass doors and Fipon synthetic trim that won't warp, crack, or rot.
And give you those rich details that make your home a showpiece.
Make your great entrance by visiting ThermaTrue.com and Fipon.com.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you vegan and vegetarian-friendly homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. Try Green Street Luxuries today at greenstreetlux.com.
The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clement. 2 years after his father's death, Brendan is staring down the barrel of a divorce. He leaves his daughters in collapsing marriage to fulfill a promise his father made to his mother, and he discovers the answers he wasn't looking for that end up helping him with his own life.
I reach for my tape more like a gunslinger going for a six-shooter rather than a timid, albeit middle-aged, apprentice afraid to do the wrong thing.
Dean Johnson, co-host of Home Time, says home improvement is a thread that runs through many of our lives. Mark has woven it into a very rich and unique story. Brett Witter, publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul, says a wonderful book about building both houses and relationships that is wise, touching, and as satisfying as a hard day's work well done. Like Chicken Soup for the Soul, it shows us that great wisdom is built from the material of everyday life. Check out The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clement on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and at bookstores nationwide.
You're back inside My Fix It Up Life, and we're at the end of the show. So if you have questions about today's show or a project at your home, send us a note at info@myfixituplife.com. We want to hear your questions, and we love to learn from you.
So follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, check out our pins on Pinterest, and watch our videos at YouTube.
Listen to more My Fix It Up Life shows on free apps for iPhone and Android, or at iTunes and Blog Talk Radio.
And tune in next week for more My Fix It Up Life.
You might be just a pretty face looking back at me. You might be an idle conversation piece. You might be another wasted memory, but I'd like to wait and see. You might be the first date on a city street. You might be a kiss that brings me to my knees. You might be initials carved into a tree, and I'd like to wait and see. Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. I'm so glad you walked into my life, into my fix-it-up life. This is my fix-it-up life. You might be a white dress walking up to me. You might be a sunrise in a sky blue sea. You might be the holder of my front door key. And I'd like to wait and see. Sometimes we agree just to agree. With the referee, I'm so glad that you became my wife. This is our fix it up life. Just a simple hello, would do. But what do I say? Running at my feet. You might be a best friend aging gracefully. You might be a lifelong love filled guarantee. And I'm so glad that we sometimes we agree.
fix-it of life. My crazy fix-it of life. This is our fix-it of life. This is my fix-it of life.